From the land of Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of July 2026. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, a special edition of our program. We'll hear excerpts of a presentation Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, made to the Farm Legacy attendees in Northern Illinois at the end of the month. He'll put profits and losses on the farms into an historical context and then turn his attention to the Iran conflict and the impact it's been having on agriculture, particularly row crop farms across the state of Illinois and, for that matter, throughout the Midwest. You'll want to stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitke in June made a presentation outlining three driving forces in row crop corn and soybean agriculture. During it, he put the war in Iran into context of its probable impacts on agriculture and laid out how he sees money flow from the federal government into the heartland impacting cash rents. But before all of that, he started with a short history of prices. He put a chart on the screen and picked up with the development of the ethanol industry.
I'm going to start here with just where prices have been. You're looking at a chart of corn and soybean prices. These go back to 1990, and these are national cash prices. Illinois prices are pretty close to these, sometimes a little bit higher in northern Illinois. So that'll give you a feel for where those prices are. I'm going to point out several things on this chart. And the one thing that is worth pointing out, I guess, is that in 2006, we had a major move up in prices. Before 2006, we averaged $2.40 on corn and $6 on soybeans. Since 2006, we've had $4.46 on corn and $10.68 on soybeans. That break happened because of ethanol. The ethanol build began roughly in 2006. It largely ended by 2012, and it resulted in significantly higher corn prices, and also soybean prices were increased because soybeans compete with corn for land. So we saw both of those go up. The commodity markets, pretty much all commodity markets, corn and soybeans, oil, several, pretty much all commodities work where you have these long run plateaus. And we're in one which is roughly $4.40 for corn, $10.60 for soybeans. That plateau before 2006 was $2.40 for corn, $6 for soybeans. And that lasted from 1974 on, 73, 74, with the Russian grain deal being the spark that caused us to go up there. Before that, we were sitting at 160 corn. If you remember that, you're officially old. But since 2006, we've average $4.50 for corn and $10.68 for soybeans, and we don't see that changing. We'll have periods above that price, such as happened in 2012. This is the drought here in the Midwest, the 2012 drought in the Midwest, and that caused a price increase. We had a supply response. And then in 2022, the other price increase was the Ukraine-Russia war. So if we want to see prices get up above this long-run plateau again, what we have to do is either have a drought here or someplace else, or war. We do have a war now in the Middle East. The Middle East is not a big exporter of grain like Ukraine is, so we're not seeing a price response to that. Right now, we're looking at prices coming down, obviously from that 2022 levels, and we saw those come down. And right now, USDA is projecting 440 for 2026, or grain that was produced in 26 and will be marketed in that year. Soybeans 1120, so we're going up a bit, or there's a bit more optimism for prices coming into 2026. And if you look out at 2027, they're roughly repeats of this period right here. So actually, we are at or near our long-run plateaus. So we had that price increase in 2022 come down, and now we're at that long-run plateau.
USDA's season's average cash price predictions, by the way, for corn and soybeans were at and still remain near that plateau's midpoints. USDA will update those figures in August. Again, we're listening to an economic outlook presentation made in June by Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois. He's a member of the Farm Doc team, and he's just gone through a brief history of corn and soybean prices since 1990. And how the build-out of the ethanol industry in the United States to supplement the gasoline supply has supported both commodities.
Unfortunately, what hasn't come back down are cost. And let me just point out, this is 2012, our price increase. Here is 2022, our other price increase. 2012, throughout this period here, we saw rising cost. And again, we saw prices going up and we hit a plateau here in 2014. Prices come down, but cost did not go down as much as they went up. Similarly, in 2022, and again, about a year lag, we have prices go up, but they definitely haven't come down since then to pre-2022 levels. So what we have now going on is a cost price squeeze. We've seen prices come down, but cost have not. And so that puts us in a position where we have low and often negative incomes, particularly on farmland that's cash rented. And that's a farmer's perspective of the situation. But you can see here since 2023, cash rent here was 315, and that was an all-time high in northern Illinois. That has come down some, 293, but that's still higher than it was before, and we're still looking at a cost, 997, and this is a 50-50 corn soybeans rotation. Now we're looking at 924.
Those last two numbers are per acre production cost, or how much money a farmer has in a crop. Put another way, a northern Illinois farmer's break-even income on a 50-50 cash-rented corn soybean operation is $924 an acre. That requires a higher price per bushel when the farmer sells the crop.
So, high cost and prices that have come down. It's sort of interesting to note here that what are these break-even prices given these cost levels? And here in northern Illinois, we see the break-even levels for 2025 at 453 in 2025, 466 in 2026. And we actually saw a cost increase going into 2026. Led primarily, some of that is led by fertilizer. 2025, we had an $11.12 break-evens for soybeans, and now that's at $10.93. Again, if you look at where prices are, they're pretty close to those break-even levels. So, and 440 for corn, so it's below that corn break even. 1093 is actually below the 1120 projected for 2026, but still not a large level of return there. What has been making the difference up is government payments. So even though we've seen those cost price squeeze, we aren't feeling that as much as we would have had we not had these government payments. And I'm put these government payments here on a per acre basis. So this 2024, we got in Illinois about $5 a payment for ARC and PLC. That was, by the way, sporadically across counties. That $36 was, as what Jonathan mentioned, as the ad hoc payment. That $36 was the ECAP payment for that year. In 2025, we're looking at $45 of ARC PLC payments. By the way, we have not got those yet. Those $45 will come in October. That $45 is projected for the 2025 Commodity Title Program. And again, that will be paid in October. We're still waiting for the final market year average price to actually nail down that level, but it's likely in that $45 range. This $38 here is the Farmer Bridge Assistance payments. So that $38 was actually received on the 2025 crop. It actually occurred in 2026, but we associated with the 2025 crop because it was paid on those acres that were planted that year. Given those totals, you're looking at $80 in government payments for 2025, and that's a big deal. As Jonathan also mentioned, there's discussion of another ad hoc program. It was actually included. $11 billion was included in the legislation that would have authorized payments for the Iran war. That did not pass, but there's still significant discussions of another ad hoc payment. Whether that's associated with the 2025 or 2026 crop remains to be seen. The 2026 crop, we have 40, we're projecting $40 of ad hoc payments. That would be on the 2026 crops, which will be obtained or gotten in 2027, October 2027. Again, you can see there that those items are big. And going back, actually, as Jonathan mentioned, we've had more ad hoc payments than we have had ARC PLC payments. These going back here are 2018, 2019 are the MFP payments. 2020 is the CFAP payment.
Jonathan, by the way, is Schnitke's farm doc colleague at the University of Illinois, Jonathan Kappas. He specializes in analyzing farm policy.
So, if you combine all those, this is farmer return on a 50-50 corn soybean rotation. This is for northern Illinois. This is cash rent farmland. So, 2020, 21, and 22 were very good years. Again, 21, 22, 22 in particular, this is the Ukraine-Russia war that caused prices to spike, and we had very good returns. Farmers had $267 return, $253. Since then, and this is cash rent farmland, we've had minus $45 of return in 2023. 24, we had $27 of return. That would have been that $27 would have been lower by $40 if we had not had those ad hoc payments. For 2025, we had a projection of $21 per acres, And that $21 per acre is positive, so that's better than 24 and 23. It's still not equal to the average over that entire period, which is $90 an acre. So it's better than negative, but still a low number. And right now we're projecting minus $20 for 2026.
I'm going to benchmark average income per acre here, and this is not a number produced by the Ag Economist, but one generally thought of as a rule of thumb, and it is held as ground truth for decades. Farmers clear about $100 an acre. This tells you, in my opinion, everything you need to know about why the average size of a row crop farm continues to increase, and I'll go a step further here to say why it is incumbent upon landowners to take measures to reinvest in the farm and protect its productivity. Farming's a low-cost operation. The value in owning land is in the asset. Its ability to produce needs to be protected. Farmers in Illinois generally own less than 20% of the land they farm. Landowners, therefore, have a responsibility to improve and enforce. Now let's pick up with that 2026 $20 per acre projected loss from Gary Schnitke.
It will remain to be seen how that plays out. Again, this is with just $40 of ARC and PLC payments. We haven't put anything else in there, but if there's another ad hoc disaster assistance or we have higher yields or whatever, we would expect that to go higher. So overall, we're having lower returns, but overall, our farmers are in pretty strong financial position. This data comes from FBFM. And we're looking at debt-to-asset ratios still very low. We continue to increase debt per acre. And in the recent years, we've seen the interest payments increase. Those interest payments are increasing for two reasons. One, interest rates have gone up, but also the amount of debt that farmers are handling have increased, and those have primarily increased because of the higher operating notes that are needed for the higher cost levels that we're looking at. So to summarize here, we are in a challenging time. We have low returns, and those low returns are caused by a cost price squeeze. We have prices down from highs in 2022, and costs have not declined as much. And actually, right now, we're looking at increases for 2027, not decreases. ARC and PLC and crop insurance coverage is important, but it still leaves gaps. And ad hoc federal payments have filled those gaps. That has been very important. However, the negative side of those payments, it's like slowed cost adjustments. Cash rents would likely be lower, which if you're a landowner isn't a good thing. But they've likely slowed those cost adjustments and input prices from coming down. What we're looking for in the future is what's going to happen to the Iran conflict and demand growth. Just a note here, just to summarize, 2025 returns were an improvement from 2023 and 2024, but it was another tough year for farms, particularly those with poor yields, and another rounds of payments could be associated with that crop. 2026, we have weaker returns expected again. Corn and soybeans have increased, but costs remain high, and actually they've increased. And 2027 is a bigger concern, because we're going to see a large cost increase associated with the Iran conflict. Associated with the Iran conflict, we can expect higher fuel and fertilizer prices. So, and also there will be a general round of just general inflation and higher energy prices And that's going to cause an increase in other costs. It's what happens after an event that always touches the Middle East. Here, just to give you a feel, this is what has happened to oil prices with the Iran conflict noted here, and we saw a 45% increase in prices since then. They remain elevated in the bouncing around. We will see what happens there as news of that conflict change. Here again is what's happened to diesel fuel prices, and again they have increased. So, and both of those things, the fuel, if you look at when it happened, farmers were likely more exposed to the fuel side of things for 2026 than they were the fertilizer side of things. But those fuel cost and price increases will have an impact, particularly at harvest and going into 2027. And here's what's happened to fertilizer prices. We've seen anhydrous ammonia and urea increase dramatically. And those have not shown any sign of coming down. So ammonia prices of over $1,000 probably should be expected for this fall. And the other big concern is DAP. Will likely be higher as we're looking at one of the major ingredients for DAP, which is the sulfur. DAP requires the phosphate rock and sulfur, and the sulfur is exported from crude oil production in the Middle East. So those have been in tight supply, so DAP and MAP become a concern.
Those fuel and fertilizer concerns will flow right from the 2026 growing season into 2027. You've been listening to an excerpt of a presentation that agricultural economist Gary Schnitke made during the month of June. At that point, he suggested that anhydrous ammonia would be about $1,000 a ton going into the fall. As of last week, USDA's Illinois NASS office puts the state average at $1,022 per ton. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 28th day of July 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you for being with us. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And there you'll find the latest pinnings, not only of Gary Schnitke, but of his colleagues as well, along with the animal scientist and the crop scientist at the U of I.